I feel like I could stop right there. Mr. Rogers is just so good. Just send you home with Mr. Rogers' song. But I want to go a little deeper into that anger that Jesus felt, because that's actually something that makes this story a little unique. This is the only passage in any of the Gospels where we are told explicitly that Jesus felt anger. I mean, there is that story where he walks into the temple and starts flipping tables, but most people, they actually don't tell you explicitly that Jesus felt anger. It's just a pretty good inference from that, because usually somebody doesn't flip tables if they had a good day. At least I don't. But this is the only story in the Gospels where we are told that Jesus felt anger. And just like that song, anger can be something deep inside that helps us to become what we can. Anger is a clue to who we are, to what we are passionate about, to what we stand for. So what Jesus felt angry about is a clue for us about who Jesus was and what Jesus stood for, what Jesus was passionate about. So why did Jesus feel anger? Well, he just asked them a question that I feel like was fairly simple. Like, you should know the answer to this. Is it lawful to do good or harm on the Sabbath? The good thing or the bad thing? I don't know, Jesus. Quite the stumper there, right? But they're silent. They don't answer. And it's not because they don't know what the answer is. Everybody knows what the answer is to that. Because they don't want to answer. And it goes on to say, after it says that he's angry, that he was grieved at their hardness of heart. Now, that's a really interesting phrase because, as you may know, the person who wrote Mark was Jewish, and most of his audience was Jewish as well. And so they had this collection of stories and scriptures that we call the Old Testament. And can we think of any character in the Old Testament who had hardness of heart? Does anybody know who that might be? Pharaoh, right? Pharaoh. So yeah, there's a story in Exodus where the Israelites are slaves in Egypt and God sends plagues against Egypt in order to tell them to let his people go. But Pharaoh hardens his heart because he's not quite so keen on letting go of the free labor and the power that he has over God's people. But as the story goes on, eventually they leave Egypt and they go out into the desert where they come to Mount Sinai and they receive the Ten Commandments, one of which is to keep the Sabbath day holy. And later on down the road, after they've wandered for 40 years, they come back to the same mountain and Moses is about to die. And so he goes up on the mountain, he delivers his last sermon from the mountain. And we heard a little bit of it today, but I want to read it to you again. Deuteronomy 5, verse 15. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath. You were slaves, and now you are free. So keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath was about freedom from slavery. It was about the fact that they no longer had to make unrealistic quotas. They no longer had to make bricks without straw. You were free now. So every week, take this time. Don't work. Relax. Keep it holy. And by the way, don't make others work for you. Even their servants got a break. Even the donkey got a break. Matter of fact, every 7 years, all of creation got a break. They were to let the land lie fallow so that it could be renewed. God commanded them to have sustainable farming. Everything gets a rest because there's freedom in God's kingdom. You are free from Pharaoh. So then we come to our gospel story today, and Jesus has noticed it's something very subtle and insidious that has happened to the Sabbath. They've kept the Sabbath holy. As a matter of fact, it's so holy that you cannot break it, and therefore the hungry cannot be fed. The sick cannot be healed. And when Jesus breaks it, they decide they have to kill him. How did something that was about freedom become something that you would kill somebody for? How did this become so holy that people, that it was more important than the people that it was given for? This is what made Jesus so angry. And it's easy for us now to point at the Pharisees and say, oh, well, they were such jerks all about their rules. But the truth is, we do this all the time. We take good gifts of God that are holy and good, and we make them so holy and important that they're even more important than the people around us. We can do this with our nations, with our flags, with our money. We can even do it with this. This is a beautiful gift from God, full of beautiful stories. It is inspired and inspiring. It tells us the good news, but I bet everybody in this room can think of a time when somebody used this to hurt you, when somebody used this to coerce you or to justify something evil that was being done to you. Sometimes we take these good things and we make them so important that we forget to show compassion to each other. And that is what makes Jesus angry, because he gives these gifts for us. God is for us. And so the gifts he gives us is for us too. And when we take those gifts, the gifts of creation, of nature, of Sabbath, of church and religion, and we use them to hurt one another, that makes Jesus angry. And you know, sometimes I've always been uncomfortable with the idea of an angry God. But you know, when I look around sometimes at what's going on in this world, I get angry. And so I'm glad that Jesus gets angry too. I'm glad that Jesus gets angry, because it means that he is on our side and for us when we are being hurt and oppressed. And he is on the side of those who are being oppressed. So what does Jesus do when he sees that the Sabbath, which Jesus believes is important, Jesus is not against the Sabbath, but when he sees that it's become so important and holy that people are withholding compassion from one another, what does he do? Jesus breaks the Sabbath. You know, it's interesting. The guy who had a withered hand, it wasn't life-threatening. He didn't have to heal him on the Sabbath. He could have done it after sundown or on the next day. And the disciples, they weren't starving. They could have eaten the grain that was stored up the day before. But Jesus broke the Sabbath on purpose. He broke it in front of everybody to see, to prove that he and his followers are free, because that's what the Sabbath was about in the first place. You are free. You don't have to. God loves you. God provides for you. Sabbath was about freedom from slavery. And that's what it can be for us today too. The Sabbath is very difficult for us in our culture nowadays to follow. I recently started a new job, and as I was preparing the sermon about the Sabbath, I'm like, you know, maybe I should like block a day off for my availability, and I did. And it was hard. I felt guilty saying that I wasn't available. Sometimes we feel guilty going on vacations or spending time with our family or just saying no, because we have attached our identity so close to all this work we need to do to justify ourselves. So this can be a gift for us too. We all know that we're too busy. I don't think I need to tell us about that. We know that it's so easy to get caught up in work and production and even in consumption too, to make the land produce for us. We know that we are consuming so much that it is killing God's creation. We know that we are working so much that we are tired. We know that we are making bricks without straw. What we don't always know is what to do. Is there an alternative? Well, that's why God has given us the Sabbath, this gift, an alternative. It's not going to solve everything, but it's a place to start. It's one day when we aren't available. One day when we tune out. One day when we focus on healing and God and the sacred, beautiful, divine dimensions of our lives. One day that we gather for spiritual community, founded not on work and competition, but on a shared experience of grace. Sabbath was made for humankind. And it can be that way again.